your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Friday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, April 16th, 2021. Your boy Q here. We finally made it to the end of the week, man. And I say finally, but every day flies by. It's ridiculous. We get to Monday and I think, man, it's going to be a long week. And then next thing I know, boom, here we are. Friday, we're staring the weekend in the face. And then, boom, we're going to be that much closer and that much closer and that much closer to the NFL draft coming up April 29th. Mel Kiper from Mel Kiper Jr., as I say all the time, from ESPN.com. He actually had a conference call on Thursday going over his mock draft 4.0 and just talking about the draft. And so got a lot of that audio. So I'll probably bring it to you on Monday, I think, because I wasn't able to be on the call live just because it was at the same time as my radio show on Fox Sports Central Texas. But I believe I've secured the audio. They're supposed to be sending it to me, and so I'm going to break that thing down. And if there's anything that sounds good and makes sense for the Raiders, I'll definitely bring it to the table on Monday's show. But excited about today's show. I've been pumping it up all week long. Former Raider Marquette King, talked to him on Monday night, and it was just so random how it happened. You know, I just kind of hit him up on Twitter, sent him a direct message. He hit me back and asked me for my phone number, and then I thought, well, I think maybe he's going to call me, and then boom, all of a sudden he just called me a few minutes later, and we just talked, man. We had a really good conversation, so you're going to hear the whole thing, man. You're going to hear the whole conversation from the minute that I picked up the phone to the minute that I hung up the phone. That's what you'll hear, and you'll hear that coming up in segment number two and segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Again, I've been promoting it all week long just because I didn't want to just throw it on the show without properly promoting it. So I thought that Friday would be a good time to do it, and then if anyone misses it, they can check it out on Saturday or Sunday over the weekend when they're looking for something to listen to, maybe while they're at the house doing some chores or whatnot. So here you go, Marquette King. On the podcast on today's show. Here in segment number one, as I do on the daily, want to give you the news and the notes of the day. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. And the biggest piece of news that came out around the Raiders on Thursday, Arden Key and Mo Hurst were both released on Thursday by the Raiders, clearing $4.5 million in cap space, according to my guy Vinny Bonsignor from the Las Vegas Review-Journal and also Raider Nation Radio 920. And I checked Spotrac.com, and it says that the Raiders have $6.3 million in cap space. They need probably $6 to $7 million to sign their 2021 draft class, so that's not a whole lot of cap space, but I'm not sure if that actually includes the $4.5 million that they saved from the release of Arden Key and Mo Hurst, but I was just talking about these guys on Monday's show. Remember, I was talking about three guys, three Raiders that I felt like were in make-or-break years, and at the very end of it, I said, I would say Arden Key and Mo Hurst, but I think that they're already broke. I think that their time has already come up. I think that they're going to be released at some point, either in training camp or before training camp. Well, I didn't think it was going to be a couple days later, but indeed, the Raiders do cut them. Arden Key was a third-round pick in 2018, and Mo Hurst was a fifth-round pick in 2018. Arden Key played 37 total games in his Raider career, 44 total tackles, and 3 sacks. Mo Hurst, fifth-round pick in 2018, played 40 total games, 67 total tackles, and had 8 total sacks and an interception with a 55-yard return. It was a big man interception, and he tried to take it to the house. And so, obviously, Maurice Hurst was a little bit more of a success than Arden Key was. Arden Key was just, he just wasn't that guy. He just wasn't able to ever get it together and put it together. Some people believe that maybe he had an opportunity to work out with Gus Bradley and see how Gus Bradley could use him, maybe as a backup to Yannick Ngakoue, but instead they just kind of pulled the plug on the Arden Key situation. And Mo Hurst, I know that he was better. I know a lot of Raider Nation are big fans of Mo Hurst, and I'll tell you right now, I don't really know why. I mean, he didn't do a whole lot. I mean, he's been in the league since 2018, and he has 8 total sacks. And I know he was pretty good when he had the opportunity. He just, to me, and I said this on Monday's show, he just didn't make enough wow plays for me. He just didn't show up consistently enough. And I know he played hard. He gave a lot of effort. And he played for Paul Gunther. And a lot of folks will say that the reason why he wasn't successful is because of Paul Gunther, defensive coordinator. That's always going to be the easy, fallback guy. And that goes for Arden Key as well. But a lot of fans are big fans of Mo Hurst. And so, when you talk about him, it's almost one of those sensitive subjects. And there's always like one player or a couple players on every team that the fan base just loves, regardless of their production. Hell, Carl Joseph is that way for the Raiders as well. A lot of Raider Nation just loves Carl Joseph, even though he really consistently never put it all together. Well, Mohurst didn't either. The Raiders decided to cut bait. I know there's different websites out there like Sports Information. They put out a tweet saying Maurice Hurst 9.4% pressure rate last season for the Raiders ranked 11th in NFL among an interior defensive lineman with 100-plus pass rushes. I think you could always dress up any kind of numbers to make them look good and fit the narrative that you're trying to fit. I just don't think Maurice Hurst was that good. Now, I mean, hey, I don't have any ill will to him. Just don't think he was that great. And on top of that, the Raiders brought in a lot of defensive line help, so they have plenty of defensive tackles. They have plenty of guys that can compete on the interior side of the ball. They got Quentin Jefferson. They got Solomon Thomas. They got David Irving. They got Jonathan Hankins. You know, and I'm not saying that any of those guys are even better than Hurst. I'm just saying they've got a lot of bodies. I felt like the writing was on the wall when all those guys started getting signed. And, you know, ultimately, that's what happened. Gus Bradley looked at him and said, hey, that's not a guy I could use. He looked at Arden Key and said, hey, it's not a guy I can use. So I'm okay with them moving on from him. Now, I did say that both of those guys came from the 2018 draft, right? That was John Gruden's first year back on the sidelines with the silver and black. Him and Reggie McKenzie, they're the ones that worked out that draft, that 2018. That was the last year that Reggie McKenzie was with the team. Then Mike Mayock comes in 2019. But still on the roster from 2018. This is how you call squandering a draft. I mean, they just absolutely have. And this is what the Raiders got to get away from. Not getting guys on second contracts. Not developing guys that they draft and actually building the team. That's the problem right now with the team not having any depth. Think about this. The 2018 draft class. Colton Miller was John Gruden's first pick. He's still on the roster. Brandon Parker, he's still on the roster, I guess, out of necessity. He's not that great. We all know that. Anytime he gets into the game, everyone holds their breath. And then Marcel Aitman, the wide receiver. That dude has been, what, he was a seventh-round pick. He was on the practice squad. He was cut. He was back on the practice squad. He was cut. He was on the roster. He's, you know what I mean? Like, Marcel Aitman has done next to nothing. So those are the only three players left from the 2018 draft from Gruden and McKenzie. Colton Miller, Brandon Parker, and Marcel Aitman. So no longer on the roster. P.J. Hall, he was a second-round pick. Arden Key was a third-round pick. Nick Nelson was a fourth-round pick. Mo Hurst was a fifth-round pick. Johnny Townsend was a fifth-round pick. Azeem Victor, I believe, was a sixth or a seventh-round pick. All those guys are no longer on the roster from 2018, and only Miller, Parker, and Aitman are left. That's the problem. That's where the biggest problems for the Raiders lie, is the fact that they don't have guys on the team that have multiple contracts. They don't have they haven't signed guys outside of Colton Miller. They haven't signed a first round draft pick to a second contract. He was the first guy, says Darren McFadden. That's not okay. That's a problem. That's a big issue. That's where the Raiders have to start cleaning it up, and they've got to get more production. They've got to get more out of the guys they draft. They can't always decide that they're going to go and make it happen in free agency. This is where Mike Mayock and John Gruden have got to hit gold, is in the draft. I wanted to update you on the offseason workout program that's starting on Monday. The Raiders joined the Broncos, Seahawks, Giants, Buccaneers, Lions. I think there's a couple of teams that I'm missing, but they decided not to participate starting on Monday on the offseason programs. They put out a statement saying that they were standing in solidarity with their team and a lot of players across the league as well, but they also left some wiggle room. So basically, if players have incentives in their contract and they have to show up so they can make sure that they can get those escalators and get that money, then they're not going to look at them side eye. They're going to give them an okay, you know, like it's all right, not a problem. They voted as a team. According to Vinny Bonsignor from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, he said the outcome was not unanimous, according to a person with the knowledge of the vote. But he also said, and this I thought was kind of important, this has a significant downside for the Raiders. It undercuts an important developmental portion of the NFL calendar. In fielding one of the youngest defenses in the NFL last year, Raiders coaches and players have pointed to the cancellation of all in-person OTAs last season as a key reason for their defensive struggles. Now they have new defensive coordinator Gus Bradley in place and the process of installing a new defensive scheme about to kick into high gear. The Raiders are facing a similar disruption to their offseason schedule. So that's the downfall. You know, the players are saying that they want to make sure that they're safe and they're, you know, dealing with the COVID-19 and they don't want to, you know, bring it home to their families and all that other stuff. I've said it before, and I know Vinny pointed out as well, that this is not really the reason why, or this is most likely not really the reason why players are not going to this. It's more about the player association fighting back with the 17-game season that has been put in place by the owners. So this is kind of their way of saying, yeah, not so much. But it's a little bit of a downfall for the Raiders because, like Vinny pointed out, Gus Bradley is installing a new defense, and it would be great for players to be there and be available so they can start to learn the scheme so they're not trying to learn on the fly in training camp and then during the season like they did in 2020. So that's all I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Coming up in segment number two, part one of my conversation with former Raiders punter Marquette King. Before we get into that, I do want you to know that this episode is being brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Rings sure to bring joy into her life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring, ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece. They're the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available right now through Mother's Day only on BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10 by 10. This collection features high quality, fine jewelry that's surprise and delight and fairly priced, so you can give her something special and truly meaningful. So if you're on the hunt for the perfect, unique ring she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10x10 only at BlueNile.com. Segment number two in part one of my conversation with Marquette King comes up next.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Time to finish the week real strong. And how we're going to do that is my conversation I had earlier this week with former Raiders punter Marquette King. You're going to hear this thing raw and just about uncut. The only thing I did is bleep out the curse words because, well, that's the radio guy in me and that's just what I do. You know, it just doesn't matter. That's how I'm going to roll. I'm always going to do it like that. So besides that, you're going to hear the conversation as is from the moment that he picked up the phone to, you know, the minute that we hung up the phone. I mean, it's going to go down like that. So here in part one, going to just kind of catch up, see what's going on, and you'll hear a bunch of different things. So enjoy this conversation with former Raider punter Marquette King.
What's up, man? It's Marquette.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Chilling, bro. You got a cartoon telephone number.
I really do. I got the best cell phone number ever. Like, I'll never get rid of that number ever.
Bruh, it's like on the cartoons, you know how they always put the same number, like 555-555-555. I was like, hell no.
Yeah.
I told someone
that was my number one time, and they thought I was lying.
I was like, man, this can't be a real phone number.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, no, I wanted to have you on, man. Just talk about everything that's been going on. And I've been seeing your videos that you've been putting out. And like, hey, I just want some answers. And I think everyone wants some answers.
Yeah, we all want answers, man. It's not making sense at all to me about why I'm in the situation I'm in. I've seen punters that have been out more than two seasons playing. And I've seen punters that are nowhere near close to my skill level playing. So it's like, what the hell is going on for real? Like, and if y'all don't want me, let me know so I can focus on putting my energy elsewhere. Like, I'm tired of, if I don't have an honest chance of getting in, then just let me know so I can keep moving on.
Right. And I know you got your music and everything that you're doing that as well. But I mean, when it comes to the NFL, is it just, it feels like this whole situation is almost like, hey, let's just ice this guy out, even though he's got all the ability in the world.
Yeah. It's, I don't know, man. It's just weird. It's like nobody has an answer. Even the people that reach out to me before, while I was playing and while I'm out, like, man, if you need anything, let me know. And nobody's doing nothing. Like, so it just got to a point to where I was just like, man, fuck it. I'm finna just start. If I'm to the point basically where if they're gonna like keep me out, whatever you call that shit, like, at least give me an answer. I wanna know why. Like, what's the reason? Because I feel like I got too much talent, man. I had some CFL teams hit me up, and I'm like, no, I belong. I know I belong in the NFL. Like, and no disrespect to the CFL, because the CFL's a fire-ass league too. But like, bro, all the hard work that I put toward being really good at what I do and creating a legacy for myself and for whatever team I played on, bro, it's all still there, and I might as well finish where I started.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, obviously when you were a member of the Raiders, Raider Nation obviously loved you and loved what you brought to the table. And, you know, you had a good contract. I mean, Reggie McKenzie gave you a good contract. And then, of course, you know, John Gruden comes in and everything kind of falls apart there. Do you think it, I mean, the whole John Gruden situation, do you think that had to do with just the appearance on NFL Network where you kind of really didn't acknowledge who he was except for the guy on TV?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, I just like to have this person. And like, I wrote an apology about that before. Like, I mean, maybe everybody can't handle a little humor or whatever. Like, it ain't like I was disrespecting the dude or nothing on there. But I honestly don't know, because I feel like I was warned by somebody in the building that that was going to happen anyway, which was interesting because I'm like, bruh, dude ain't never gave me a chance to meet me. So, like, it was just, I don't know, it was weird because I was getting warned about that already. And I'm like, all right, well, cool. Okay, I can't control it. I wanted to stay there. And I don't want to stay. I wanted to stay at Raiders for as long as I could. Like, I thought I could have a whole thing with the organization like Shane Leckler or Janikowski.
Yeah.
Didn't work out that way. Everybody got a different walk on their journey of life.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I'll tell you, man, you fit the bill of a Raider. I mean, you know what I mean? Like you said, you wanted to be a Raider like Leckler and Janikowski. And that's, I mean, you were right in line. You fit the bill of a guy who would play with the silver and black. And I remember when that NFL Network appearance, I mean, I watched it live when it happened. And I remember thinking, I was like, oh, that was funny. You know what I mean? Like, it was funny. I thought it was funny. I didn't think there was anything wrong with what you said, like disrespectful or anything. I was like, okay, that was funny.
I didn't feel that either.
Most people know John Gruden as a TV guy because everyone's young, you know what I mean?
Exactly. So, I never seen anything about him except for Monday Night Football,
right?
So like, and I don't even watch sports like that unless I got friends, like, unless Daniel Cormier's fighting or Michaela Mayer's fighting, like, or one of my homies that I'm really close to in the league's fighting, not in the league fighting, but in the league playing,
right?
This is on a bar on TV. I'm not watching sports like that. I just enjoy kicking the ball and playing that game inside of the game, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And you do a great job of it. And I've been very entertained by some of your videos of you just kicking it. I've seen you returning kicks and, you know, just out there just like, hey, again, I'm out here. I can do this. Why am I not playing? There's no reason. I'm just straight up with you. There's no reason why 32 teams say that you're not for them. And I don't think you're demanding a whole lot of money or anything. I mean, It's got to be something like almost everyone's got together and said, hey, let's just show this guy or show the league that if you don't, you know, fit in line with what we want, we're going to just do this to you. I mean, it feels personal.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good. I ain't going to lie to you, man. It's not a good feeling at all just because, like, I don't know, I feel like I've seen way worse on news stations that, by other people doing stuff. But you know what I'm saying? And, like, everybody got their own little issues, but I feel like I don't think I've done nothing to be in this position where I'm just totally ignored. Like, right. I ain't breaking no laws. I'm out here working with the community and stuff. I mean, I'm out here being a model citizen, you feel me? So,
yeah.
I don't know what else to do. So it's like, man, like I said, I just want to answer, man. Let me know so I can just keep moving on. Like, don't keep me guessing back here spinning wheels like y'all really interested when y'all really aren't, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And like I also said, too, is since I've been in the league, it's always been said that it's a performance-based business.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, you put all that work in, and you do your thing, and there you go. And it's so aggravating, too, because, like, just hearing certain people make up these stories and stuff of why I'm not playing the league, and it's like nobody put out – a real reason of why, like, even when I got, like, nobody put out a real reason why. And I told my story about when I was in Denver, how that didn't work out. But,
right.
I mean, it's an aggravating situation. But, I mean, I maintain my happiness by staying creative with my music and staying in contact with my people that I love and everything. So, I mean, the only time I do feel a little down throughout the day is when I just see football. Just cause, like,
yeah,
it just doesn't feel good. But I mean, hey, it is what it is.
Right, right. Well, let me ask you this: What in your opinion happened in Denver when you signed with the Broncos? I thought, oh my gosh, he's gonna go to that climate. He's gonna go to that elevation, and the ball ain't never gonna come down until it lands on like the 1 yard line. What went wrong for you in your opinion in Denver?
I was instructed to change my whole kicking style. And even I was surprised because when I first met with Vance Joseph, like, man, we want you to do exactly what you did in Oakland, just boot the ball. And I'm like, oh, okay, let's go.
Right.
And then I thought it was a good move. And the way the my contract was set up, it was, what, 3 years, $7 million?
Yeah.
And within the first 2 years, if I was to make All-Pro or Pro Bowl, then I'll get an extra third mil. The $3 million contract on the third year. And I'm like, I talked to my agent, I'm like, well, let's set this up because this is going to be easy. So I set it up. We set it up. We went with the bro with the punches. Next thing you know, we go out to practice, and now the special teams coach there is telling me he wants me to change my whole kicking swing and everything. So what I've been doing all my life, kicking the ball, I'm doing something that's just very foreign to my body or whatever, and ended up tearing my adductor the more I kept doing it. And
yeah,
that was, it was rough, man, because I really, I don't know, Broncos country shows so much love too, and it would have been so fun to just stay there and play for them because I actually had fun. Then, like, you get the altitude, but, like, man, it was also embarrassing at the same time because the way I was instructed to change my kicking style, you can see some of the teammates, like, man, what the hell is you doing? I'm doing what I'm asked to do. Like, it's, I'm doing what I'm instructed to do. And it was also embarrassing because, like, we was playing the Seahawks in the first game, and Michael Dickerson's booting the hell out the ball.
Yeah.
I'm talking about from the end, one end of the field to the other, and pinning us. And Vance, you can see Vance, he was like, shit. And I'm like, I'm standing there. I didn't say nothing, but I'm just standing there in my head. I'm like, bro, you know, I can do the same thing, but y'all asking me to change my whole kicking style where you drop the ball like on the outside, right outside of your body, and you swing around, which I still can't do that. There's some people that can't do that.
Right.
And some people that can. Like, if you play, you got a soccer background, okay, that works. But, hey, man, I don't know. It was rough. It was real rough there.
Well,
and plus, I was kind of down for getting let go from Oakland, too. So,
yeah,
it was tough.
Well, and if you're doing it your whole life, and this is something that bugs me about just the league in general, and I see it all the time, if you got a guy that does something really well, don't change who he is. Don't make him, you know what I mean? Don't try to fit a square into a circle because it doesn't fit. If they signed you because of what you did in Oakland, then they should probably let you do what you did in Oakland.
Yeah, I mean, look at how successful Patrick Mahomes is playing the way he played. I know ain't no quarterback coach teaching nobody to throw them side-on passes like Patrick Mahomes, tosses and stuff, but it works.
Right.
Like, it works for him. And I don't know, that's the same conversation I was trying to have at the same time when I was there, like how uncomfortable it was and how I don't feel like I can help the team with what y'all asking me to do because I'm not playing to my full potential. And it was just so aggravating. Like, I remember I started crying when I went back to the apartment, just like calling my cousin, like, man, I don't get this shit. Like, why do I got to go through this shit right here? Like,
right.
You know, just because I can't kick to my full potential. So it's like, I don't even want to play no more because I can't, if I'm being asked to do something that's just not working. And we had months to figure out that it wasn't working good.
So that was part one right there. And I kind of found it to be crazy, man, when he said what happened in Denver and the fact that they wanted him to change the style that he's kicking. But when you're kicking the way he was kicking, and he's really damn good. And I know a lot of people, man, a lot of folks tripped out all week long, were tweeting at me and was like, oh, this guy's a diva, this guy, that. And we're just bad-mouthing the hell out of the dude. And it's like, hey, man, first of all, he was a young dude. You know, he was having a lot of success. The Raiders were kind of letting him do his own thing or whatever. And so, I mean, I'm not trying to make excuses for him. It was crazy how many fans were kind of talking mess about him. And I was like, hey, just listen to the conversation. And then you can, you know, pass any kind of judgment that you want. But anyway, I just think that there's no reason to make a guy or tell a guy that he's got to change how he punts the ball and change the style in which he punts when the way that he was doing it before has got him where he was at. And that's what made you want to sign him. It's something we talk about with the Raiders all the time. You know, don't change someone from doing what they do. That's why they got there. That's why you wanted them is because of how good they were. So that kind of blew my mind. But either way, on the next side, in segment number three, you'll hear us talk about what he did after Denver, a couple workouts that he had after Denver, and how is everything going, and, you know, if he'd like to talk to the Raiders again, and all kind of good stuff. That's all going to come up in segment number three. Before I get into that, though, I do want to tell you about a couple great sponsors here of the Locked On Raiders podcast, and one I've been telling you about forever, and that is Built Bar. Great tasting protein bar. It's got so many different flavors, I can't even name them all down. I mean, they just got a ton of them. I prefer cookies and cream. Carrot cake's a good one. Coconut almond's a really good one. You know, some of the OG ones. Salted caramel's a really, really good one, but they've got a ton of flavors to choose from. Either way you look at it, man, the bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft. They're easy to chew. They're great for the health-conscious man or woman. Help you lose or maintain weight while you're enjoying a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and they're great for the keto diet. Either way you look at it, man, check them out on the website, builtbar.com. While you're there, when you decide that you're going to check out, make sure you use the promo code LOCK15. It's going to save you some money. It'll save you 15% off your order just like that. LOCK15 for 15% off your order at builtbar.com. I also want to tell you about betonline.ag, and I do a show with Lee Sterling from ParamountSports.com called Locked On Bets, and every single day we talk about, well, we talk about money lines, we talk about gambling, you know, spreads, point spreads, and all that good stuff, and how you can win money. Well, betonline.ag is going to help you do that. Doesn't matter if it's baseball, if it's hockey, if it's UFC, if it's boxing, it just doesn't matter. NBA, it's got every sport covered. They're your online sportsbook experts. And if you open up a free account, you want to get off the couch and you want to get into the action, you open up that free account, use the promo code Locked On, and with your first deposit, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus. So a lot of people are saying, well, Q, what does a 50% welcome bonus mean? Meaning, if you put $200 in and you use the promo code Locked On, you get that 50% on top of it. That means you'll get an extra $100. So you have $300 to play with. Either way, they're going to get you hooked up like a tow truck, man. BetOnline.ag, again, your online sportsbook experts. If you're on social media, you can find them at BetOnline_AG. Take advantage of all the best bonuses in the business. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Segment number three, it's coming up next.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Time to jump into part two of my conversation with former Raiders punter Marquette King. We're just here talking about, well, we already talked about his time with the Raiders, talked about, you know, the experience with Gruden, or the experience that he thought he was going to have with Gruden, the Denver Broncos. So now we're up to what after Denver? And he had a couple visits. And so I start off talking about where he went after Denver and a couple visits that he had lined up. So here's part two of that conversation with Marquette King. So I know when you left Denver, I know that you had a tryout in Houston. And I mean, obviously you didn't sign there, but how did that go? Was that something that you feel like there was an opportunity for you to be there? Or, and have you had any, you know, real tryouts since then?
The first Houston workout was really good. So that was good. And then the Dallas Cowboys workout was good. But, I don't know what else to do. It's almost like it's not even my talent no more, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like maybe somebody took the time, instead of trying to avoid me or run away from me or whatnot, because you don't know who I am as a person, maybe somebody's basing my personality off of stories that are out or whatever. And because most stories, I mean, you don't – I don't know, what was this saying? I forgot. I heard it saying, but I mean, you can't judge somebody off of what you read and stuff because you don't know the person. And that's one thing I dislike, how a lot of people are, where they judge somebody because of how they act on a TV show or how they act on TV or how they, like, and they've never physically met the person before, so they got the most to say about the person. But I think all it takes is just a coach or GM or owner or whatever to just chill, get a glass of wine. Let's get a glass of wine. Let's talk, like, get to know who I am.
Right.
You know, and I feel like when people do that too, even coaches, it creates an even deeper bond between player and coach, and like it builds more trust, and man, you can create success with all that.
You know, I mean, we've been talking less than 15 minutes, and I can tell how much passion that you have behind it and how much this hurts you that you're not at least getting answers and getting anything. You know, you're just kind of out there on the island waiting for someone to pick up the phone and call you and speak to you, you know, sit down and speak. How much would that mean to you to have a coach or a GM, or like you said, an owner, just reach out to you and say, hey man, let's go grab that glass of wine and let's talk and see where you're at right now.
Bro, it'll mean the world. Like that's all I need. And it'll even make me want to even play my heart out even more. Cause I know every team I go to, I will, three easily. So, and shoot, the way I was punting 3 days ago, whatever. But I mean, like I said, when coaches do that, if they take time to spend time with their players or whoever they're trying to get, it creates a different kind of bond. And man, I remember I used to have coaches in the past where I'd be ready to run through a brick wall for them, you know?
Right.
And I mean, that's what you get. I mean, they just need to take time to get to know who the person is, who the player is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I got to ask you this, man, because I was watching your videos. And again, man, you're punting the ball and it's landing on top of the light pole. Like, it's hitting the light pole. Like, who practices doing that? That's who does that?
I know. I mean, I'm so bored. I ain't got nothing else to do but work on music and work on kicking. And even when I'm not kicking, I'm just, I don't know, like, I just do it. We were out there in the road playing around. And I was like, all right, I'm going to hit the top of this light. First try.
Wow.
First try. So, I mean, the accuracy there, the hard work's there. I mean, I'm staying ready, but no, if things ain't working out, then it's time to move on, you know?
Right.
But, like, I just, like I said, I just want to answer why am I being treated like this? Like, I don't know.
How long are you going to give? How long are you going to sit there and say, okay, I want to answer. Like, are you giving them a certain amount of time or are you just going to play it by ear?
I mean, I hope it's sometime before the season starts. I mean, like I said, I don't feel like I should be in this situation. And
right.
It's like, man, the more people kept telling me to just be quiet and sit back and it'll happen. And it's like, well, shit, the more I keep sitting down and not saying nothing, I'm going to keep getting buried. So, like, now...
Yeah,
I'm asking now. Like, I tried to be quiet, and me being quiet, I didn't get any answers then, and it was even worse. So it's like, I don't know, I'm just vocally put out there, like, I need an answer. What did I do? Why am I in this situation? Because I've seen way worse people in way worse positions and doing way worse than what I've ever done. Like, so I don't know. That's all I want to know.
Yeah.
But I don't know if things ain't popping soon, I'm just going to roll out and keep moving on with my life.
Right. Well, you know, I'm not going to lie. When you didn't say anything, and you know, we've talked before, but when you didn't say anything, I thought, okay, well, you know, he's probably happy with the music and not having to worry about the pressures of football and everything. But now that I see all these videos popping out and you keep answering like, hey, can I just get an answer? Can I get an answer? I'm like, yeah, can he just get an answer? Like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, yeah. that's the least they could do is give you an answer.
Exactly. Like, I told you, like, the more I sit back, people... It's almost like, I'm sure a lot of people thought I just fell off the face of the earth. No, I was being told to just be quiet, sit back, and I get a call. And I'm like, and I'm sitting here like, wait, the more I'm sitting here not saying nothing about what's going on and letting people put these narratives out about how I am as a person or things that I've done that are not true. And it's like, man, it's almost like they're trying to create this, I don't know, it's making my character and me as a person look bad. So it's like, I'm finna start standing up for myself, man. Like,
yeah.
Like, somebody assumed that I ran a fake punt on my own when we played the Broncos. What was it, 2017, 2016, 2017?
Yeah.
And
yep.
It was a punter keep play that we ran after Derek Carr got sacked and he got hurt.
Right.
He caught the play as he ran out. Punter keep right. And it just happened, man. And then it's like, I can't believe people really it's just so weird how people create these stories. So like
that's crazy because I remember that play. I remember when it happened and actually this offense had been struggling for so long. Like you said, Derek Carr got hurt, he went out and you were that was the offense. I mean, that was you actually saved the game. You won the game with that play. So I don't know why people would criticize that play anyway.
No, that was the one. No, this was in Denver where I ran and I got tackled like right at the line of scrimmage.
Oh, okay. What play was it where you went for a long run? And it sealed the game.
Jacksonville. That
yes.
was Jacksonville.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
I was about to say, wait a minute, hold on. That was that was the game.
Man.
You won the game with that play.
Man, that was cool though. That was fun times right there. We was living it up for real.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Well, it's bizarre. It's crazy. It makes you kind of feel like it's a get in line club or whatever, you know, good old boy club, which is not a good thing. I mean, if you got talent, which you do, you should obviously be on a team. If you're not going to be on the Raiders, you should be on a team, regardless. I mean, whatever team it is.
Yeah.
There's not 32 punters in the league that are better than you, in my opinion. You know what I mean? It's just, there isn't. So
I don't know.
It's nuts.
It would be nice to go back to the Raiders, though. That would be fire, but
how cool would be to be in Vegas and start over in Vegas?
That'd be cool as hell. I mean, like I said, it's not my choice. It has to be someone that has an open mind to accept that, you know?
Right, right, right. Well, if
heck yeah.
If you could say anything right now to Gruden, if you could say anything right now to Mike Mayock and Mark Davis, what would you tell him?
I tell Mark Davis I want to get up some P.F. Chang's because he loved to go to P.F. Chang's. Gruden, I'm going to still get him a box of Snickers. I was going to give him the first time I tried to meet him when I didn't meet him. And Mike Mayock, I don't know too much about Mike Mayock like that, but I don't know. I'll just sit there and just try to squat. I don't know how the conversation would start, but we definitely would start off with going to a nice little restaurant or something and just talking. I don't even know what we would talk about because I don't know. I ain't got no animosity toward anybody.
Right. And
I mean, I don't know if he has any toward me or not. I would definitely try to squash it and figure out what the problem is or what was going on or whatever, but yeah, I don't know what the conversation would include.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. Do you still keep in contact with some of the players that are currently on the team?
No, they switched up the whole team so much. I don't even know who's there. I've been so angry lately, with just football, not just in life. I live my life happy, but with football, I'm just so frustrated with it where I don't even watch.
Right.
Can't watch it.
Right.
So, I don't really, except Derek Carr.
Yeah.
We just like tweets or pictures on Instagram. That's it.
Okay. Did you have a good relationship with Carr while you were there?
Hell yeah. He was next to my locker.
Nice.
And he was a good dude, man. Good dude.
He's another guy that gets misunderstood a lot. So.
Yeah, it's I feel bad for him sometimes, but he's very into his religion, and he keeps his head where he needs to keep it, and deals with stuff really well. So,
right,
they got a good person in that position right there.
Right, right. Well, I do want you to go ahead. I know you're like I said before, your music, you put it out. Actually, I got guys that hit me up all the time about your music. I guess they see billboards in L.A. all the time for your
They saw that?
Yeah, yeah. I get hit up all the time hey, man, his billboard's up in L.A. And I was like, really? And they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So go ahead and tell everybody about your music as well so at least you can get a little bit of love that way.
Yeah, man. The music's out right now. I got a song that's popping off right now. And it's so funny because, I don't know, I just know with the music, in the music world and with the team that I have right now that works music, it's definitely going to bang. I'm sure it's going to get a lot of plays, even more than what it has now. I think it's at 500,000 views.
Dang.
But it's a song called Country California Girl. And then I got a bunch of other songs, different styles. So it's under Marquette King. I was going to come up with an alias name, but I'm like, man, nothing hot.
Right, right. No, gotta be you. And I gotta ask you, man, how do you break down a California country girl?
So, country California girls, just a girl that, because a lot of people don't think California can be country. There's some country parts in California, but this girl named Michaela, and she fits the whole description of that song. That's basically the song for her, because
nice.
She just reminded me of that. My cousin, professional regular guy, came up with the chorus because he knows how to translate what I want to say into music. So
yeah.
He helps me out a lot with the writing sometimes, and he's a beast. So,
right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, of course, Marquette, it's always nothing but, love from me. And I know a lot of Raider Nation still has your back, and we want you to be successful, like I said, with the Raiders or with anyone else. I mean, I just think that good, talented people and good dudes in general deserve an opportunity to play. So I'm hoping everything works out and someone gives you an answer one way or the other sooner or later. But I definitely appreciate you taking some time to kind of tell your side of the story.
Man, I appreciate you. And I appreciate you for showing love, man. That means the world. And shoot, keep showing love, man. Keep spreading positivity like you do on social media. It's cool.
So there it is right there. I enjoyed that conversation. I really did. I was fired up and pumped up after talking to him. You could take your own judgment from it. I know a lot of people think that, he's just willing to talk to anybody right now because he's begging to get back into the league. But look, I don't think that we were all as mature as we are now. Back in the day, I know I wasn't the most mature dude at one point, not like I am now, you know? So I know that, you know, I've changed over time, and I'm sure if you look in the mirror and are honest with yourself, you probably changed over time as well. I think the dude honestly just wants an opportunity to try to kick in the league again, and I'll tell you, like I told him, and I have no problem saying it, there's not 32 punters in the league that are better than him. Yeah, I know he's got the antics. I know he's got the penalties. I know he's done this and that, but if that's what got you out of the league the first time, well, I'm sure that, you know, you can learn from that and not do that. And he brought up a point multiple times. There's people that are playing in the league right now that have done way worse things than he ever did. He's not breaking no laws. He's out there. He got some penalties. Yeah, okay, he had some antics. I get it. But, again, man, I'm not trying to, you know, be a lawyer for him or anything like that. I just think that, you know, it's a shame that nobody even gives him a shake or says, okay, hey, this is what it is. We don't want you in this league anymore. I guess by not calling him, that's what they're telling him. But either way, it's bizarre to me. So hopefully you enjoyed that conversation. We'd love to get some feedback from you. 707-654-4693. Let me know what you thought about that conversation with Marquette King and where he is. I'm not advocating for him to be a Raider. I just think that some team in the league could probably use a dude that's as talented as him that can, you know, kick the ball, punt the ball like he can. So anyway, that's it for today. That's it for this week. Hopefully you have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday. I believe we'll have Mel Kiper Jr., his breakdown, or I'll break down his conference call that he had on Thursday covering the NFL draft, his last conference call for until the draft actually happens on April 29th. So have a great weekend. Stay safe. Wash your hands. I actually got my first vaccination shot on Thursday, so I got one more of those things to go. If you get that opportunity, man, go ahead, and if you feel the need to do it, make it happen. You know, either way, just take care of yourself and make sure you stay safe out there, and we'll talk again on Monday. And as always, Raider Nation, just win, baby.